The New York City police officer who choked Eric Garner will face a disciplinary trial in May, more than 4 years after Garner's death fueled protests against police brutality around the country. Meanwhile, this week, the NYPD unveiled a new fleet of drones that it says will help with hostage situations and search and rescue operations. But privacy advocates are concerned. Joining us now for more is the NYPD's chief of department, Terry Monahan. Chief Monahan, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Jeremy.
So first of all, how many drones will the NYPD have and what are they going to be doing?
All right, we have 14 drones right now, and there'll be various things that we allow them to do, and it's a strict policy that we have. So we can use them on search and rescue, evidence search at large and inaccessible locations. We can use it at hazmat locations, traffic and pedestrian monitoring at large events, such as Times Square on New Year's Eve, which actually will be the first time that we will be utilizing the drones at one of these events. Now, when we use it at Times Square at an event like that, it'll be on a tether, which is basically a cord that it's attached to, and it'll be an area that's cleared out below the drone. So God forbid the drone falls, it falls into an area where there are no people. And we use that just to manage traffic and pedestrian flow within a large-scale incident.
And all of these uses are things that you need. You wouldn't be able to do your job without them?
Absolutely. This is something that will help us do our job better. Obviously, we've been doing our job for years, but this just makes our job better. And it allows us a new way, new technology, to increase the safety of the city. You know, that's the ultimate goal. There's technology out there that just makes us do our job better. There are 900 agencies across the country right now that are using drones. We took our time and really studied the usage and how they could help us do our job better to protect this city. And we took a lot of input in before we decided to use drones. Matter of fact, we sat down with the NCLU just to get their input. Though not completely thrilled with everything in our policies, we did feel it was necessary to talk with them before we implemented.
Well, and what do you say to people who are still concerned that every time they step outside, they might be being watched by a drone?
Nah, because the only time we utilize a drone is at specific instances. And there are only, in the department, there are only 29 pilots. To actually operate a drone, you have to be licensed by the FAA. So you have to go through a pretty extensive course to learn to utilize it and be licensed properly. So there are only 29 people that are assigned to one unit. It's our technical assistance response unit. And they're only going to come out with the drones when they're called to an incident. They're not out there on routine patrol. Drone will never be utilized for routine patrol. It's not going to be used for traffic enforcement. It's never going to be used for any sort of warrantless surveillances. It's strictly in our policy how and when we could use it. And there's always going to be a supervisor out on the scene. And every time that that drone goes up in the air, one, we have to get clearance through the FAA that we're putting it up in the air, and we will record every single time that we utilize that drone.
And do the recordings become public record, or how long do you store the recordings for?
We're going to store the recordings for 30 days, mm-hmm. unless the whatever is recorded is necessary for some sort of court proceedings or if there's a FOIA request on something that we recorded. After 30 days, they're destroyed.
And are there regulations that guide you on this, or are these regulations that the police department is coming up with on its own?
These are the policies that we came up after long considerations, a lot of speaking with other agencies, what their policies were, speaking with the advocates, speaking with the NCLU. Just trying to reach out to as many people as we can to come up with as fair and transparent policies we could come up with.
Even with these drones, how will New York compare to, say, London, which where you feel like you're basically on camera anywhere you go?
Well, listen, if you walk around in New York City, you're basically on camera anywhere you go. Mm. And these are private cameras that are out on the street. These are traffic cameras. These are our cameras. Every company has a camera. When we're on patrol, cops are turning on body cameras. So the idea of people being on camera, it's just a reality in society nowadays.
So let me ask you this. What will you definitely not do with these drones?
Well, it's definitely not going to be used for routine patrol. It's definitely not going to be used for traffic. It is never, and I say never, ever going to be weaponized. So you're never going to hear of tear gas or anything else being on a drone. That is absolutely forbidden by our policy. It's not going to be used for surveillance on individuals. This is going to be used for specific police functions. As a matter of fact, last night we used it for the first time. We had the shooting incident in the Bronx, which covered a very large area. And we wanted to make sure we document the crime scene as best as we can. So we put the drone up late at night, and we were able to take pictures all along the route that can be fused together and really give a good view to any prosecutor who's going to be using that case. So it really is something that is going to enhance how we develop cases.
And how did it work out for you last night?
Excellent. It worked beautifully. We got great video that we're compiling together that can show any jury or prosecutor exactly what the scene looked like the night of the incident.
Have you heard from other law enforcement agencies around the country about how they use drones? You're not the first. You're the biggest in the United States, but not the first.
Yeah, we have. And it's, again, everyone has a policy, some more restrictive than others. I think we have one of the more restrictive policies out there, and we are very comfortable with the way that we have set up how we're going to utilize the drones.
While we have you, Chief Monahan, I just want to ask you a couple of other things, because it's rare that we get a chance to talk to a high-ranking police official. You're in...
I'll talk to you anytime you want.
Okay, great. Well, it's great to have you on. And let me ask you about something that the NYPD has been known for around the country, which is that it had this stop-and-frisk policy and then ended that policy. And I want to ask you, do you think that things have gotten better since the policy went away?
Absolutely. Listen, there were way too many stop and frisk in the city. It was a matter of not focusing in on the people that are drivers of the crime. And that's what we did. One, it was hurting trust within the city. We were out there and we saw what happened in 2014 around this city, around this country. And we needed to change. We needed to change quick. And we needed to do it in such a way that not only would we rebuild trust in the city, but we would continue to reduce crime. So there were a lot of naysayers that thought that if we weren't stopping 700,000 people a year, that crime in the city would go through the roof. But we just learned to police a lot smarter, learning how to work together with the communities we serve, actually trust our cops, give the cops discretion out on the street to make decisions, to work hand-in-hand, give them ownership of the communities that they serve so they could work hand-in-hand with those communities, working directly with the detectives, and going after the very few amount of people in the city that drive the violent crime. And it just look at the numbers from where we were to where we are now since we instituted this policy. Stops are down to, I think it's under 10,000 a year, and crime is down to lows that we've never seen before. You know, lows since 1954 in homicides, shootings. This works. Working hand-in-hand with our communities in neighborhood policing, precision policing against the individuals driving the crime, it works.
Well, so what would your message be to a city like Chicago, where the crime rate is much higher than in New York? What are they doing wrong that you're doing right? Or is it apples and oranges to compare the two cities?
I'm not going to speak specifically what I think another city may be doing wrong. I have spoken to Chicago. Eddie Johnson's a great guy. I know him very well. We've discussed policies that we do here in New York. I know, I believe Chicago has just very recently started neighborhood policing there. We've spoke to him about different ways in which we investigate homicides. I know their clearance rates in homicides wasn't as good as we are here in New York. So we exchange ideas on a regular basis. You know, law enforcement communities, we speak. We speak, especially in the major cities. We speak quite often. Whenever they have an issue, they will reach out. We've had a lot of their leadership here in New York looking at what we're doing. And I'm sure that Chicago will eventually start to see it. I believe they are already seeing a downturn in that violence.
That is Terry Monahan, who is the NYPD Chief of Department. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.